the parties, and that finishes that brief little section on respondents' offers to contract. The message to them, very simply, is, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to stop...
You'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Welcome, my friends. You're listening to the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We ended the first hour without our normal segue music. As I said, we're having all kinds of computer problems tonight, but look, Republic is a great network, and I attribute tonight's problems to the recent move into the new facility. I know things aren't quite in the way they will be very shortly, and everybody's very busy. I just did a relocation myself, and it probably was the most traumatic event of my life, and that includes births and deaths and grandchildren and everything else. It's just a hellacious thing to have to move. So, that said, we're going to go back to... Tonight we're discussing commercial liens, my friends. In a moment, we're going to return to our caller, Jim. And before we do, let me just say that the Law Merchant Leadership... Oh, two announcements, and I'm so sorry I forgot this at the beginning. How could I have forgotten? The first announcement is that the Law Merchant Leadership Conference is just about sold out. It actually is sold out, but we're regaining some spaces from people who did not complete the registration procedure. So we may have four or five of those, and if you want in, please don't wait. Send an email immediately to robertat@hush.com. Now, the next announcement I think you're going to like. We are offering a free seminar, a free two-day seminar, my friends, September 15th and 16th in Albany, New York, and the subject is going to be bankruptcy court, using bankruptcy court to collect on your commercial paper. We're going to provide entertainment along that line, the likes of which you've never seen. It's never been structured like this, something I've worked on for years and then refined in a couple of cases within the past year, and we have it down to a real usable, irresistible package. There'll be no backdoor. There'll be nothing sold at the meeting, no CDs being hawked, just a free two-day seminar for anyone who wants to attend. We'll have a capacity of about 100 people. The only thing you'll have to pay for is my retirement plan. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I've got that confused. You'll have to pay for the hotel room and your cost of getting there, but we'll see what we can do about hooking you up with a roommate or something to half the cost. And the cost of rooms, normally the cost of a suite at the hotel is $149, and that our special rate, the special Sam Kennedy don't wreck the hotel rate, is $89. So, excuse me, it's a good bargain, and I invite everyone to attend. Now, folks, we have not even put together the registration documents for that. Please do not send Roberta an email on that yet. She will ignore it. In fact, she may take a 2x4 to me. She is swamped just handling the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. I'd like you, as a personal favor to me, to wait 10 days before you ask for a registration document. And then they'll be sent to you immediately after the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. That'll still give you a month, maybe about 6 weeks to make plans. Believe me, Albany is not where the celebrities and people in power fly in. So it's pretty easy, I imagine, to fly in and out and travel to and from Albany. After the next three-minute break, we have a long segment. We're going to spend a good portion of that with Jim. Jim, I trust you're still there. And that should be interesting. And then we're going to pick up on the commercial lien. It's exact text. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, this is Lance Keltner, and I firmly support Ron Paul as next president of the United States. That's why myself and New Disaster will be rocking San Antonio in support of Ron. It's going to be a great day of music. Don't miss it.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
Hi, I'm David White of the Glorious Dregs, and I support Ron Paul for president in 2008. Please join us when the Ron Paul Revolution sweeps through San Antonio on Saturday, July 28th.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I have somber news, friends. My producer, John, never made it back from the dark side of the moon. I hear he's lost to us forever. My condolences go out to his family. Friends, some big announcements. We're offering a free seminar in September, September 15th and 16th. I believe it is Saturday and Sunday. If I have the dates wrong, it's that weekend, somewhere around there. To anyone up to 100 people who would like to attend and learn about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. We'll probably expand it into Chapter 7. And, friends, Take No Prisoners is now expanding to 4 hours a week for the next few months, 2 hours on Saturday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Sunday night from 9 p.m. till 11, our regular time. So we are going to be leaning heavily on Commercial Liens, BIC, lots of interviews and phone calls. Albeit tonight we're handicapped because the computers are down. Jim, please join us again. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Jim. So let's pick up on your case again. Refresh my memory, please.
Okay. Well, I can't get a judge to this particular judge to accept my promissory note. I've accepted all the charges.
Now, we have an interesting package that we use for that, and I've sent it out actually free by email. It's an administrative remedy, and we call it the Uncooperative Clerk Package. Have you ever heard of it? Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't.
Well, if you drop us an email, we'll send it out to you.
Oh, great. Thank you.
But let me just suggest a few things that come to mind. Number one, are you distressed over the fact that the judge sent it back?
Well, when she refused it at the court case, I said, well, let the record show that this court has dishonored these funds to the tune of, and I gave the amount, and I'm sorry, I'm short of what I thought I told her, but
that's okay. But overall, how do you feel about the fact that the payment has been dishonored twice?
Well, legally, I know what has happened, but personally, I'm frustrated.
Okay. Stop right there. Many people have felt that frustration with you, Jim. You're preaching to the choir on that one. You know, people face that all the time. So let me just make a few suggestions and then address the question you had asked about directly to the IRS. First of all, I love when judges make mistakes like this because it gives me the leverage, it gives me the hammer I need to nail their feet to the ground, literally. So I don't consider these things untoward events. I consider them actually to be breakthroughs very often. That's why I developed the Uncooperative Clerk Package. Let's look at this on the public side first, even though I do believe you're right, you should handle this privately as much as possible. On the public side, what if you had a notary send the documents back to her? By the way, I recommend a big red stamp, an instant stamp from Staples, and the instant stamp has a big box around it, and it says private issue, and on the second line, not for public filing. And if that is stamped that way, then they don't make the return error under the disclaimer of these do not conform with court pleadings and can't be filed in the case. When they do that, by the way, they're basically telling you they're private documents. So why not mark that on the document clearly and state, you know, with a nice big diagonal red stamp right at the top of the letter rogatory that they can't be returning this. So if it was me on the public side, I might send the document back under notary seal that says, let me see the title of this document. It doesn't have a title. It just says a courtesy notice. And then it says, dear Mr. Clerk or whomever, I thought I should contact you as a courtesy with some urgency regarding the recent removal of evidence from case number such and such to ensure that unnecessary personal and criminal liability are avoided. Then, in bold type with an underline, it says, it is not my intention to impede any of your lawful duties or cause any anxiety or distress. I am herewith returning to you under notary seal for filing into evidence the following documents which bear, excuse me one second, the following documents which bear your mark of acceptance and which have been noted accepted for value. By the way, did they stamp the documents?
No, they didn't. They put a separate page on.
So you would take those out, and none of the documents you sent them are evidence, but they may not even have a record of what you sent them. So you could put one document in with evidentiary with evidentiary purposes. For instance, it could be a notice of counterclaim. It could be a petition for something. It could be just about anything. It could be a fiction bond, to put a bond into the case. And that would be the evidence that they have rejected from the case. And then, after we list the evidence we're returning to them, the next paragraph says, as a Christian, I would very much prefer to conclude that removing the above-noted answer to a filed objection, now that would be worded for the particular situation, was an unintentional error rather than a serious criminal activity. And I have a footnote on that, and then the activity in the footnote says, tampering with a witness, concealing a material fact, falsifying a court record, obstruction of justice, scheming to defraud by deprivation of services, perjury of oath, subornation of perjury, theft within the special maritime jurisdiction, misprison of felony, and treason, fraud, conspiracy, racketeering, and plunder. Interesting list. I might shorten it a little, because redundancy doesn't help. Anyway, it says, for me to be able to conclude that it was an unintentional error, I would prefer to be able to conclude it's an unintentional error, rather than serious criminal activity perpetrated by the very parties charged with preventing such activity. In other words, isn't it the clerk's job to guard the evidence file? Who else has that statutory responsibility? This letter is intended to provide you with every opportunity to correct the error and demonstrate good faith by honoring the demand under notary seal to file the said documents into the said evidence file within 72 hours of receipt of this letter, in parenthesis, commercial deadline. And then the letter goes on. Now, it need a letter like this, if someone is going to use it, needs to be refined to the situation, because some of this would not be evidence. So you would point out this goes in the evidence file, the other gets held privately. There's also a second version of this letter, which is strictly for private documents that are not intended to be filed in the evidence file. That's a little less effective, because then they're not in statutory felonious noncompliance. So that's why I like to put at least one piece of evidence back in that packet and ask her, am I to understand that you removed evidence from the file, even if it's on say-so of a judge? Do you really want to accept that responsibility? Ask me how many times evidence has been returned since when it's sent back with this packet. Jim, did I lose you?
No, you haven't. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what to ask you. How many times evidence has been returned?
Yes. How many times do you think we've gotten evidence back after returning it with this packet?
Well, I suspect
none.
Zero. Yeah.
That's correct. Zero. Plus, we don't get evidence back. We simply stamp it with the that red stamp I told you about, and
okay.
We've had numerous people report that to me. So that's on the public side, but on the quasi-private side, you were wondering, what can you do about it? Well, if payment has been dishonored, we take the promissory note and the letter indicating the dishonor and the notary's certificate, even more important, and we might stamp the first two, not the notary's certificate, but we might stamp the first two documents with a special accepted for value stamp, which would indicate that we are accepting those for value basically based upon the dishonor that was created. The dishonor, by the way, in fact, maybe I can find that particular stamp here and read you the exact language.
Would that
one
be the one
number,
for charged
it,
instruments?
Well, basically, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, you can't, there's no wrong way to really do an acceptance, because what are you doing? You're accepting it for value, and you're asking for a set-off against your private account, and then you may want to credit that, or you may want to charge it to a particular account. I don't like to use the word charge. I prefer on mine,
yeah,
to say for credit, for further credit to a particular account. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, it does.
Yeah. So, I'm not big on memorizing those kinds of things. We've had so many versions over the years.
Well, I've always been worried whether I use the right accepted for value or not.
Yeah, it's not critical, but because it's being, because the process here is a true liquidation as opposed to requesting a simple set-off, we consider that the rejection of the payment creates funds within the Admiralty when it's attached to a bill of exchange. And that's called treasury liquidation. And that can be done in two ways. It can be done through the Department of Treasury. It can be done directly through IRS. We're going to pick this up after the break, folks. I don't want to go into too much detail on this. And I'd like to get back to commercial liens, but I think we should address it just a little more. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. But Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are...
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking with John at the moment. John had payment dishonored by a judge, and he wants to know about processing it with the collection agency, IRS. The process is known as treasury liquidation, and it involves the creation of currency by way of a bill of exchange using the dishonor as the source of the funds, because liability is an asset, is the only asset in public policy. So we would affix that to a bill of exchange, John, and attach it basically to a cover letter. This is a time-worn letter, and it gets shipped on directly to Treasury with instructions to perform the liquidation. That's the simple version of it, and it's called Treasury liquidation. Is that what you had in mind?
For it, though. I thought the promissory note would have sufficed.
Say again? But you mean shipping the promissory note to Treasury?
Yes, or taking it directly to the Internal Revenue Service.
There are a number of ways of doing that. One could simply fill out a 1099 on that. There are a variety of those, and ship that along to the Internal Revenue Service. One could perform a Treasury liquidation on it in the way, which is what I would do if I was in that position. One might issue a commercial lien on it. If one really wants to get leverage, one would issue a commercial lien of like of the ilk I'm talking about. I might take a commercial lien like that, and I might assign it over to IRS. I do not want to go into detail on that on the air.
Okay.
But there are a number of ways of doing that so that they are genuinely assigned the asset for collection. And a commercial lien is a good way of putting a tangible. What's the highest form of asset that one can have under the bankruptcy?
Highest form of asset.
Is title a powerful form of an asset?
A title is.
Do you think it is? All right. You know all those patriots who used to go into court when their houses were being foreclosed and say, "But I own it. I have title." Did they win or lose their cases?
I believe they lost.
Yeah, and the reason they lost, John, is because title really identifies, it implies ownership, but we all know it has nothing to do with ownership. It simply identifies who the liable party is, who they can go to steal the property. So there's a higher form of control over property, and it's known, and I'm sure you know this, you're obviously a knowledgeable guy, it's known as a security interest.
Okay.
And the best way I can think of to go into an admiralty court and prove a security interest is a commercial lien. If I really had all the marbles on the line, I could either walk in with my title in hand, my claim against title, against the straw man, a copy of my UCC-1, probably a UCC-11, a birth certificate accepted for value, a Social Security card accepted for value. What else might I add to that? A copy of the security interest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And go in there and say, "Excuse me, here is my claim. Here is my claim. Does anyone have a superior claim to mine? If so, bring it forth. If not, I need you to execute my claim here and now or be joined to it." Or I could bring them in a commercial lien, and I know, with all of the other materials, but I know that the absolute highest form of documentation, the gold standard in commercial courts that exist for the purpose of enforcing negotiable instruments, is an admiralty lien. And the commercial lien can be used very powerfully in that setting, because the corollary to that is, "Excuse me, Judge, am I to understand in this court of the United States, under the general rules of bankruptcy, that you're going to ignore a commercial lien being held by the paramount creditor? Do you really want to accept that liability here today? Because if you do, I'm going to give you notice right now that the fee for joining this claim has been previously established by the parties mutually at $50 million for the privilege of being a co-claimant. If you want to make a claim here and join this, I'll be happy to send you a true bill and we can start that dance." And I would have no qualm about telling that to him. Now, I could do that with any of the claims, but the commercial lien to me is the most potent resource for doing that, because I know other ways I can sell these things and process them. So the simplest way, of course, is just a 1099, perhaps a 1099C. Cancel the debt to them. You're a nice guy. And now it's income. But that will take 12 to 18 months, predictably.
Yeah.
That's why public procedures are helpful.
Yes. Well,
It can take 15 days. I've seen that, too. All right, John. Well, I know you had more you wanted to ask me, but do me a favor. Send it by email. I'm going to get back to commercial liens for the last half hour of our 4 hours this week. Thank you very much for joining me.
Okay.
Folks,
thanks a lot.
Folks, stay tuned, please, even though no one's out there. But you'll probably fast forward if you get this from the archives, and I'll see you in about half a second by the miracle of electronics.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for a regular jog a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is Lance Keltner, and I firmly support Ron Paul as next president of the United States. That's why myself and New Disaster will be rocking San Antonio in support of Ron. It's going to be a great day of music. Don't miss it.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
Hi, I'm David White of the Glorious Dregs, and I support Ron Paul for president in 2008. Please join us when the Ron Paul Revolution sweeps through San Antonio on Saturday, July 28th.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please. I got no
bread for the... Welcome back, friends. We're not going to wait for any music here. This express train is rolling. My friends, if you're tuning in now because you are unable to receive the program for the first hour and a half, please be assured, number one, announcement number one, this program will be in the archives. It is being recorded. It will be in the archives for download. You don't want to miss it. We've had some interesting announcements and information on commercial liens. Secondly, yesterday's program, those of you just tuning in, Take No Prisoners is now available Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, in addition to our normal Sunday night hour at 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's for the next few months. We're filling in for a retired host, but it gives us 4 whole hours. My friends, we also announced, by the way, the next announcement, I forgot this before the big announcement, that yesterday's program will be in the archives, hopefully by tomorrow. I realize it's not there right now. Fourth, we are offering a free seminar September 15th and 16th, that should be a Saturday and a Sunday, in bankruptcy court and bankruptcy procedure, designed to teach you how to function either as the debtor or even have more fun as the creditor. Come one, come all, we can handle about 100 people. Nothing's being sold there. There's no back door. This is just from me to you. It's a subject I really enjoy. And I think with what we have laid out, the administrative procedures to function both as a creditor and as a debtor, that people who need to stop a case or wish to collect on their negotiable instruments might want to look at, because we're going to give you the tools to support you so that if you decide to go that route and you're persistent, once you own the process and make it your process, not Sam Kennedy's, the sky will be the limit. You will find that bankruptcy court is the place for creativity. If you were Picasso, bankruptcy court is where you would want to be sketching. It's freestyle, and you can have a lot of fun in that institution. So, that said, we're heading back to commercial liens. Let me see if there's any other announcement that I'm forgetting here. I have a whole bunch of files open from our last conversation. My friends, give me 1 second. Yes, Notary Depot. If you need an experienced notary, simply send an email to notarydepot@hush.com. There are notaries manning that email site, trying to get hook themselves up and hook up other knowledgeable patriot notaries with folks who need that sort of attention. So, I'm reading to you from the International Commercial Claim / Lien, the International Commercial Lien, that I just wrote today. I took the last one I was working on and rewrote the first 5 pages today. It has nothing to do with the previous one. We're going to feature this at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. By the way, as I mentioned, we are sold out, so to speak. However, there are 6 people who did not follow up their registrations. Roberta sent out the final notice on those folks and told them if they didn't respond by 5 p.m. today that we would give their spots to other people. And we're probably going to delay on that till Monday, give them 1 extra day. But then we will make those spots available. If you want to or need to get to this conference, it's going to be a riotous affair. Please send an email to Roberta T., as in Thomas, at hush.com. One of the featured acts at that meeting will be commercial liens, constructing them, processing them, collecting on them. This one started off with a whereas you have made various offers to claimant to expand funds under public policy, whereas claimant has received the said offers and accepted them for value in their entirety, whereas claimant presumes your offers were made in good faith, therefore claimant makes good faith due presentment of, and we list the lien, the promissory note, the notice of waiver of benefits and privileges, and the declaration of political status. I'm telling you that. It's a repeat of what I said earlier, just so the latecomers know just how potent this document is going to be. Now, this is page 4 after the cover pages that I read you and the binder page that I read you a week ago. The first section was a respondent's offer to contract. The second section, and we're pointing it out to them, as far as their offers to contract, this is a voluntary contract. Their decision to tender offers to us is the cause of and the foundation for this contract. If they hadn't put the minnow on the hook and cast the line into the, or put the worm on the hook and cast a line into the river, we wouldn't be trolling. We wouldn't be reeling them in right now. Next section, acceptance of offers / return for cause. The title of the first paragraph says return of offers for cause. And underneath that it says, all of your offers as defined in the next section are hereby returned for cause as noted below. That should say as defined in the previous section. Excuse me, folks. Now, what you're hearing here is a very much a mirror process of the procedures that we went through in the first few paragraphs of the Comprehensive Administrative Remedy Stage 1, Option 3. So this commercial lien is being forged to be used as a Stage 1 document to establish the complete terms and provisions of your contract with the offeror, the clerk, the judge, the prosecutor, whomever it may be, an agency, whatever. At the same time, it's establishing the terms of the commercial lien. Next paragraph has a title, Global Banker's Acceptance. Then it says, claimant hereby provides notice of claimant's consideration known as, in parenthesis, acceptance for value, close parenthesis, of all of the offers. Claimant hereby accepts for value, honor, and consideration all offers and returns them to you with claimant's express authority to set off all accrued liabilities attributed to legal fiction Sam Kennedy. And in parenthesis, we're defining that legal fiction name as collateral. And or the account, set off the legal fiction and or the account and all outstanding derivative accounts. The set-off is to be an exchange for claimant's good and valuable credit with the United States by previous agreement of the U.S. trustee, in parenthesis, the registration number of that original bond. It could be an indemnity bond. It could be a birth certificate bond. It could be a private set-off and discharging bond. It could be the original bond way back in 1999, 1998, 2001 that you filed with Treasury, any of those, which is sometimes identified as account number, and that would be your EIN number, or your the Stroman Social Security number, and referred to in this contract as claimant's prepaid account. This banker's acceptance for value is hereby extended globally to all past, present, and future derivative and additional offers, claims, demands, warrants, orders, proceedings, documents, actions, statements, instruments, and events. You agree to perform set-off, settlement, and closure of all derivative accounts at all departments, agencies, and ledgers as described here under. Then there's a line, and we go to the next section, and on the left, in large type, it has the section title, Exchange of Consideration. First paragraph title, Claimant's Consideration, period. Payment in full, period. And this is all on page one, really, of the text of this international commercial lien. To protect the integrity of the public record, you have been named co-payee with the Secretary of the Treasury on a demand deposit instrument, bonded promissory note number, whatever, which is hereby presented, annexed hereto, under notary seal, in the amount of whatever the amount of that promissory note was. And in parenthesis, we're defining that as tender with a capital T. Tender is by prearrangement with the secretary who holds the securitization bond referenced on the tender. Next paragraph title, Integrity of the Public Record. The tender is being tracked in real time to ensure your protection from any presumptions of official misconduct related to disappearance or misappropriation of the funds in the Admiralty. And you might add a note to that about the certified mail envelope that you've placed in with the bonded promissory note. Or you could just let your fiduciary instructions do that. But we're, in fact, maybe not have that note in here and just let them know. So they're wondering now, how is he tracking this in real time? Is he piped into Fedwire? Let them wonder. A little bit of mystery is good. It helps the digestion. Next paragraph, windfall monetization. In the event that the tender exceeds the liabilities, you are permitted to treat the excess portion, in parenthesis, overage with an O, as a windfall monetary expansion to be applied to the advantage of the United States and or any political subdivisions thereof until maturity. You want to wipe out the national debt? Give the one to $25 trillion. Overage may comprise a substantial benefit to the United States and demonstration of claimant's good faith and respect for public policy. Next paragraph, acceptance of consideration. You agree to accept the tender and process it in accordance with the attached fiduciary instructions by, number one, posting payment dollar for dollar to all outstanding accounts and to the complete satisfaction of the plaintiff and all interested parties. Number two, depositing the funds with Treasury within 3 days per your legal requirement. And then there's a footnote which is going to tell them, for their reference, they might want to check 28 U.S.C. 2041. And number three, quashing all warrants and orders adverse to claimant and or claimant's collateral, legal fiction, Sam Kennedy. You might be able to take that out since I believe we defined collateral earlier. But that might be worth repeating once or twice, even though we don't want redundancy. The fiction is my collateral. Don't you forget it. You want to collect from him, and you'd better be prepared to pay me. Alternatively, you agree to exhibit to the claimant a defect in the tender no later than the effective date. Upon completion of processing, in other words, instead of accepting the consideration, they can reject it, excuse me, with notice of the defect in the tender itself. And we'll be happy, to correct any defects, won't we? Wouldn't you correct a defect in a bonded promissory note if he said, yes, on line two, you left out an E, or it didn't have this number or that number? Be happy to accommodate. Upon completion of processing, Notary Public Jane Doe will issue certification absolving you of all personal liability as holder in due course. If you fail to process the tender by the effective date, the notary will issue binding default judgment, and you may be liable for criminal as well as the civil sums noted herein. In parenthesis, see next section, criminal activity, failure to perform. Now, below this paragraph, there's a paragraph in a box. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a little statement at the end, there's a little clause at the end of this commercial lien that says, all text within the boxes is incorporated herein by reference. Defective consideration, that's the title of the paragraph in the box. You agree to exhibit no later than the effective date a certificate of protest, notice of dishonor, or other evidence of a defect in claimant's consideration. If you fail to exhibit such a defect, you agree that no such defect exists, and you consent to the notary certifying your non-performance as your stipulation to the value and validity of the tender and your confession to the disappearance of public funds in your possession and your status as holder in due course of a taxable gain, liable party, and surety for the defendant, and all of that is in bold. In other words, if they don't provide evidence of a defect and they fail to post the credit, then the notary certificate is going to serve as their stipulation, or at least attachments to it will serve as their stipulation to the disappearance, the theft of public funds last seen in their possession, and their agreement, their consent, their stipulation to the status as holder in due course of a taxable gain and liable party and surety for the defendant. Next paragraph, respondent's consideration. You agree to provide claimant with consideration on your offers, equivalent in value to the tender, no later than the effective date. Acceptable forms of consideration may include cash, gold, silver, labor, a money order, a wire transfer. I'm going to add something here, folks, and I'm going to take the time to do it right now. Your incarceration, we'll put that in blue text. thus it wouldn't apply to every case. But that's what we mean by corporeal payment, or a settlement statement indicating a final ending balance of $0 and closure of the account and all derivative accounts, or a credit balance in claimant's favor or in favor of claimant. Now, isn't it true? We talk about zeroing the account all the time, but if you give them $5 million on a $200,000 account, it's not a zero balance. It's a positive balance in your favor of $4,800,000. Or Treasury was smart and only applied $200,000 to it and kept the rest active on behalf of Treasury. The next paragraph, there's a line now, and there's another section, and it's called criminal activity, and this will probably take us up to our break. Failure to perform. Having received this notice, your failure to perform on claimant's consideration by failing to post the tender and quash all warrants and orders adverse to claimant and or claimant's collateral, by failing to transmit public funds to Treasury in a pending judicial case, and boy, that's a direct link to their statutory obligation, isn't it? By returning or otherwise diverting funds belonging to the Secretary. See the way that's worded? In Jim's case, we called in earlier, they return funds. They return funds belonging to the Secretary. Now they are liable for those funds, and yes, they should be reported, in my opinion. I'm not advocating anyone do that. I would report them in a heartbeat, both to Treasury and IRS. Or by stealing funds from the special maritime jurisdiction, your failure to perform by any of these things will comprise your confession of intentional criminal conduct. There's a footnote listing what the criminal conduct would be at the bottom. Necessitating the issuance of a distress warrant by the U.S. trustee to the district marshal. We're going to pick up the rest of that paragraph right after the break. My friends, you're getting a mouthful tonight at Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I have good news, friends. My producer, John, the rumors of his passing were premature. He did make it back from the dark side of the moon, and he's about to fire the lunar module and send himself back to Earth. And those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you'll just have to download this program from the archives. Folks, you don't want to miss it. Some exciting things happened tonight. We had a woman call in with a very difficult problem. I think very easy to solve, and I've invited her to come as my guest to the Law Merchant Conference, even if she has to stand in a corner. We'll put her in the punch bowl, but she needs to get herself up there, and I hope she sends the Roberta the email, and we take care of that. We covered some interesting stuff on commercial liens. I'm going to finish this paragraph. We're going to wrap it up and end up with a couple of brief announcements. So this paragraph on criminal activity says that your failure to perform, as we just defined it, will comprise your confession of intentional criminal conduct necessitating the issuance of a distress warrant by the U.S. trustee. By the way, that's supposed to be requested by the Comptroller General of the United States in any case where the court does not forward the funds in a pending judicial case or an adjudicated case to Treasury. So a warrant by the U.S. trustee to the district marshal to liquidate the funds from your public hazard bond and withdrawal of employee underwriting. Basically, that means they're unemployable. The reporting of the full amount of the instrument as personal gain on Form 1099-C for collection by IRS and the filing of the criminal complaint by legal fiction Sam Kennedy with the U.S. attorney or directly to the grand jury as needed with inclusion of official misconduct regarding any party that would shield the prosecution. Your timely compliance will ensure that the matter will not be treated as your confession to a theft of funds in the special maritime jurisdiction with a reportable gain. So, that's where we're going to end the technical information tonight. Friends, let me see if I can find my little page of announcements here. I can't. It's gone. So, off the top of my head, remember, free seminar in bankruptcy. It's my pleasure, my honor to be able to do it. If you don't have a dollar in your pocket, come to this seminar September 15th and 16th. We'll be covering bankruptcy as well at the Law Merchant Conference, but we're going to do a discreet two-day job on it free of charge to 100 people. If only 20 arrive, that's fine too. We're doing this conference, and it's an exciting topic I've wanted to talk on for some time. We're the Law Merchant Conference is sold out. A few people did not complete their registration procedures. Another announcement, all those who registered recently, you must complete the registration process. You know what I mean by that? With Roberta, by this, what's today's date? Today is the 22nd. By this Friday at the latest, my friends. I'm sorry to put pressure on you. We need to finalize this. I can't tell you how hard we're working on this. And it's very hard when you don't know the final people that are coming. So please take care of business with her, so to speak. Check out Republic Trading at the Republic Broadcasting site. If you buy gold,